What we decide is evil might be good in God's eyes, and what is good in our eyes might be evil in God's eyes. To make things worse, we have both wheat and weeds in our own lives. We have our good points and our bad points, and all of them combine to create who we are as people. We might have the desire to become perfectionists, especially when it comes to other people. If we find ourselves dwelling on their faults or wondering why they don't act and feel and think like we do, or if we find ourselves getting frustrated or annoyed by their weaknesses, perhaps we are expecting too much from them. Also, we might be failing to respect the differences we have in terms of culture, experience, background, character, personality, or temperament. God doesn't tell us why he lets the good and evil exist together. God's kingdom is a mixed bag of good and evil, and it's not always clear which is which. As such, we do well not to try to judge people. We must not judge others because we could destroy the good with the bad. Unlike God, we don't know the hearts of people. The very real evil that exists is not to be answered by attacking and destroying the people who are responsible for it. Doing so only adds to harm. Our response is to be forgiving and to be willing to trust in God's purposes. If we want to receive grace, we must be willing to extend grace. In the final act of salvation, the tensions that exist within us and with all of God's creation will finally be resolved and put to rest. And we shall live in peace with God and with each other for eternity. Until then, they coexist even within each of us, so that to root out the one would be to destroy the other. Loving the sinner and hating the sin means being tolerant of those who are different from us. Loving the sinner and hating the sin means holding people accountable for their actions, but always being willing to forgive. It means affirming the good in people instead of always looking for the bad. And in all places, this ought to be true in the church, because it is seldom true in the world. We can still see weeds in ourselves and others. Instead of being discouraged, we should be hopeful. Good seed has been planted in us and is growing. The burden of the struggle isn't ours alone. We get help from Jesus, the landowner. He knows what is happening and helps us sort things out. We are not the final judge of the world. That is God's job. We are to remain faithful to God's word, even during hard times. But if we do go astray, we have opportunities to mend our ways. We have the time and the grace we need to make changes we have to make. In his love for the saved, God relents in destroying those condemned, so that we might have time to grow together to the point where we, the saved, are mature and can bear the removal of all causes of sin and those who are evil. St. Peter wrote, God is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. Not only does God care for the saved, cause forbearance, but he cares for the lost as well. Ezekiel prophesied, do I take any pleasure in the death of the wicked, declares the Lord? Rather, am I not pleased when they return from their ways and live? Sometimes weeds spring up that we don't have anything to do with. When that happens, we must focus on God's goodness and not on the problem that caused the weed to spring up in the first place. We can do this through faith in the Son of God. It is his love that binds us to him and protects us from the evil one. This is a parable of mercy. While the forces of good and evil will be sorted out someday, there is still time for change until that day comes. It is a story about grace, patience, and hope. Though we often look back on our own mistakes and become thankful that we had time to change and make amends,